Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Greg is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have the Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get the Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Let's get it. All football, all the time. You're listening to the best football show, hosted by Elliot Shore Parks.
What's going on, everyone? My name is Elliot Shore Parks. Today is Wednesday, November 9th, and this is the Best Football Show podcast, the place for the top news and opinion from myself and from the best of Odyssey's football podcasts and radio stations. If you like what you hear today, please hit that subscribe button. And if you have time, leave a five-star review with your best NFL take. Who you think the best quarterback is this year? Who's MVP? Who's the best team? Leave that take with a five-star review, and I'll make sure to read it on the next pod. All right, so today I want to get into who I think the defensive player of the year is. It's the midway point of the NFL season. We've done coach of the year. We'll be doing MVP later this week. But today let's talk about the defense and which player I think deserves 9 weeks into the season, the defensive player of the year award. Before I get into who I think it's actually down between, I think there's two clear candidates for this. I want to talk about two players that I think are probably not going to end up in the discussion for it, but I think should. And the first I'm going to say is Sauce Gardner from the New York Jets. He has proven to be everything the Jets could have hoped for as their top pick this year. And, you know, it's not surprising you come into the NFL with a nickname like Sauce as a cornerback. You pretty much are a lock to be good. But what he's doing in New York, I think, should not be flying under the radar. If you look at the Jets, they're 6-3. They're surprising everybody. They're doing that with their defense. This is not a Zach Wilson-led 6-3 Jets team. This is not an offensive-led team, right? So they are winning with their defense. And they have a lot of good players playing well on that defense this year. But I think you could argue Sauce Gardner might be their most important, because what he's given them is a lockdown number one cornerback that they can put on some of the really good receivers in that division. I mean, you look at what he has to deal with: the Bills, Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, the Dolphins, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle. Patriots don't really have any great receivers right now, but they're in a division with really good receivers, good quarterback play, and Sauce Gardner has stepped up and played like one of the best corners in the NFL. Forget one of the best rookies in the NFL. He's playing like one of the best corners / defensive players in the NFL. He's been on the field for 367 coverage snaps. He's allowed one touchdown to just two interceptions. Pro Football Focus has him as the number two corner in the entire NFL in coverage, and they have the Jets defense as the number one overall defense in the NFL. I would disagree with that. I think that the Cowboys probably still have that number one defense. But when you look at what the Jets did this past weekend to the Bills, that is number one defense type of stuff, and they are doing it in part because of the excellent play they're getting from Sauce Gardner. So the Jets have found their shutdown corner. It seems like he's going to be really good for a long time, and I think he's not going to end up in the discussion, I believe, for Defensive Player of the Year, but I think he should, and I think he deserves certainly Rookie of the Year consideration. All right, so the other player I want to give a shout out to, and you might find this as a theme throughout this week in the pod, I think the Vikings aren't getting enough credit, and as part of that, I'm going to say Za'Darius Smith deserves some discussion as Defensive Player of the Year. You look at the Vikings, they're 7-1. They have a top 7 defense, according to Pro Football Focus, a top 10 pass rush, and obviously Kirk Cousins with all the change, Justin Jefferson, you know, elite receiver. Like, a lot of their offensive players get attention. They get talked about a lot. I said I thought offensive, you know, he's the head coach, but essentially offensive coordinator Kevin O'Connor deserves some credit for NFL Coach of the Year. Za'Darius Smith is having an outstanding season. 8.5 sacks, 30 hurries. The 8.5 sacks are tied for second most in the NFL. The 30 hurries are tied for the most in the NFL. He's been an outstanding rusher for them, and he's really been one of the best players on their defense and one of the best edge rushers in the league so far. I think when you look at some of the great edge rushers around the league, Myles Garrett is on that list. Nick Bosa is having an awesome year. And I know that, especially for defensive players, it's hard to assign a win-loss record to them. But I think the fact that Za'Darius Smith is playing for a 7-1 team, a team that has needed their defense to win some games for them, that matters to me over Myles Garrett playing for a team that, let's be honest, isn't going anywhere. The 49ers are, like, I think they're a very good team, but their defense arguably isn't as good as the Vikings defense. So as good as Nick Bosa has been, I mean, yeah, I think he has the same amount of sacks as Za'Darius Smith, not as many hurries. I mean, you could argue Za'Darius Smith has played better than Nick Bosa has. And he's on a 7-1 team. Like, he's making impact plays for a team that's winning games. So right now, my number three defensive player of the year would be Za'Darius Smith. He's been an awesome pickup for the Vikings. And I think the rest of the season moving forward, especially come December and playoff time, having that elite edge rusher in Smith is going to be absolutely huge for the Vikings. All right, the top two players. So I know who I pick as my number one, but I think the top two to me are an interesting kind of discussion in what do you value on the defensive side of the ball. So the top two for me are Darius Slay, the cornerback from the Eagles, and Micah Parsons, obviously the edge rusher from the Cowboys. And before everybody says, oh, well, you cover the Eagles, you had Sirianni's coach of the year, like, the Eagles are 8-0. They have a lot of players on that team that are doing really, really well. You don't get to 8-0 with having outstanding players. So here's the reality, guys. There's going to be a lot of Eagles in this list because they're arguably the best team in the NFL and they have the best record. And part of the reason they have that great record is because of turnovers. And Darius Slay has been a huge part of that. The Eagles currently are plus 15 in the turnover differential. They've created 18 turnovers in 18 games. The second best team in the league is plus 7. So the Eagles are over twice as good in the turnover differential as the second place team. So when you look at how they've become 8-0, a big reason is turnovers. And Darius Slay has been a big part of that. He has three interceptions so far. He has three interceptions and only one touchdown allowed. He's three times more as likely to take the ball away than he is to allow a touchdown. And what's impressive about that is he is guarding the team's number one receiver each week. He is that lockdown corner. Justin Jefferson, we all saw what he did against Justin Jefferson in primetime on Monday night, right? He lines up against CeeDee Lamb when they play the Cowboys. He lines up against Terry McLaurin when they played Washington. I mean, there are good receivers that he's gone up against, and he's done really, really well. I think, again, the one touchdown allowed, I believe, was in week one. So it's been seven straight games without him allowing a touchdown. And just the fact that when you look at what the Eagles are able to do, they have a really good secondary, obviously. But it is such a massive advantage in today's NFL to have a cornerback that you can put on any receiver and trust that he will shut that receiver down. I think if you would ask me last year, I would say that edge rusher is the most important player on defense. And certainly when you look at what they're paid, that is the case. And I think it probably still is. But the value of a corner is going up just like the value of a wide receiver is going up. Like if the Dolphins pay Tyreek Hill what they paid him, if the Eagles pay A.J. Brown $100 million, then teams are going to need to pay corners on the opposite side of the ball money to stop him, right? It increases Darius Slay's value. Jason Kelce was talking earlier this month on his podcast. I think it's called New Heights. And he said that he believes cornerback is the toughest division, is the toughest position to play in the NFL. And it's hard to disagree with. Obviously, quarterback, you have the whole, you know, you have the ball in your hand on every play, you're deciphering defenses, there's a lot of that. But when you look at how the rules are built towards the offense and how hard it is to cover some of these receivers where they know where you're going and you're the one constantly reacting, to have a cornerback playing at the level that Darius Slay has, he has to be in the defensive player of the year consideration. He's been arguably the best corner in the NFL for arguably the best team, and he's without question part of the defense that's creating the most turnovers. And part of the reason they're able to create so many turnovers is Slay shuts down his side of the field. So then on the other side, the quarterbacks have to go that way. The Eagles defensive backs know they're coming that way, and that's how you create so many turnovers. So in a league predicated on passing, the Eagles have a cornerback that is shutting down opposing passing attacks each week against number one receivers. If that's not a defensive player of the year candidate, I don't know what is. Like, if you're the best player, arguably, on one of the best defenses in the NFL, you have to be considered for it. If you look at the odds right now, he's not even ranked in a lot of them, which is absurd. So I think when you look at the best secondary player in the NFL this year, it's probably been Darius Slay, or at least he's on that very short list. But when you talk about the best defensive player in the NFL, the guy that I think through 9 weeks has been the biggest difference maker, it's Micah Parsons of the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, he is a generational talent. You look at what he's done so far, 22 hurries, 9 quarterback hits, 8 sacks. His 8 sacks are 5th in the NFL, which was surprising because it seems like every week I see him making 2 to 3 like game-changing defensive plays. He has a touchdown this year on a fumble recovery. And what makes him so dangerous as a defensive player is you have no idea where he's going to line up. So far this year, he's lined up 347 times as an edge rusher. He's lined up as a linebacker, so either coming from the middle of the line or lining up as one of those weak linebacker spots 105 times. And when he's on the line of scrimmage, like when he's an edge rusher for those 347 snaps, he's split almost evenly. He's been on the right side 183 times, and he's been on the left side 164 times. So if you're a quarterback, you have to get to the line and say, okay, where is Micah Parsons? He's a number one guy you have to worry about. And he can be so many different places that it makes him so hard to stop. The Cowboys this year have been winning with their defense. They have the best pass rush in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. And Micah Parsons is the biggest reason for that. You cannot block him with single coverage. I saw him play in Philadelphia. The Eagles had to essentially make their entire offensive game plan around how they were going to handle Parsons. And they have one of the best set of tackles in the league. So as good as Darius Slay is, and as much as he impacts the passing game, there still is nothing quite like an edge rusher that can completely wreck the offensive line and make life miserable in the pocket for the quarterback. Slay can take away that number one receiver, but there's still other options if the quarterback has time in the pocket. It doesn't matter if you have Tyreek Hill, Jaylen Waddle, A.J. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, all lining up on the same offense. If your quarterback doesn't have time in the pocket, it doesn't matter. And Micah Parsons right now, there is nobody better in the league at completely disrupting an offensive line and completely disrupting a quarterback's time in the pocket. So when you add in the sacks, the hurries, the hits, the versatility, the fact that he scored a touchdown, the fact that his unit is why the Cowboys season is still alive, he's not only defensive player of the year, he's probably in the MVP discussion as well. So Micah Parsons halfway through the season is my defensive player of the year. And I would be very surprised if when this season ends, we're not talking about him as the winning NFL defensive player of the year. This has been the latest edition of the Best Football Show podcast. Thanks everybody so much for tuning in. If you're still listening, please hit that subscribe button. It helps the show grow. And as I said, leave a 5-star review if you like what you hear and leave your best NFL take. Maybe you disagree with who I think the defensive player of the year is, but leave that 5-star review with your opinion and I'll have a pod one day where I read all the reviews. So thanks everybody for listening and I'll talk to you guys on Thursday.